blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 309, stanzas 1 through 4. The Lord, who has remembered us, his blessing will bestow. All those who fear his holy name, his loving care shall know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 309. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare Abel, his brother, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read together out of thy holy word of the beginning of those public worship services wherein men began to call upon thy name when they have come not only as individuals and not only as families, but have come together also in the way of a congregation together. To seek thy face and to call upon thy name, to acknowledge thee in all thy ways, and to seek thy blessing on all his labors. And Lord, that is also what we may still do in this day with our children. That was in the beginning. Now it is in the end. That is in the last days. And we know not that time that men shall be no longer able to call upon thy name in a public way. Satan, he goes about to destroy all that is of thee, and Lord, thou standest above it all. But on this Thanksgiving Day, then we may still acknowledge thee, not only for all the blessings in this world for the sake of our bodies, but also for thy truth and for thy institutions, that we may still with our children enjoy in this life, all may it be. That it is our enjoyment, or may it be that it is the desire of our heart, and that we may live upon these things, and that it may be the meat and the drink of our life, and that our desire may be that we might know thee. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that is, because this is life eternal, and then there is in this life, in the heart of thy children, sometimes the beginning, a little beginning, an imperfect beginning, and yet a beginning. A beginning of what they shall do. One day eternally it will be an eternal Thanksgiving Day. When they may magnify and glorify thy holy and worthy name. And that for a mediator, for a redeemer, who has given himself even unto death, the death of the cross in order to redeem them from the grave and to deliver them from sin and all its consequences and to bring them again into thy holy and blessed presence. Lord, what a day that shall be when they may enter in and when all the imperfections and when all the sins shall be done away and when their whole eternity shall be consumed in casting the crown before thee, in bowing before thee, and in glorifying thy holy name. Oh, that thou may give also to us and our children the knowledge of that beginning. Oh, that we also may be included therein. Remember thou us then in this day. Be with us further in thy house in this afternoon hour. Lord, open thou thy holy word, that we may be given once again to bring it in the midst of this flock. And wilt thou remember all of us when we may also be given to meet with family, with friends in these days, O Lord, and that it may also be in a profitable way. For we are such foolish creatures and tied to all the things of this world. But oh, give that there also may be the ability to speak of those things which are needful. Remember us then together. Help us once more. When we are to bring thy word, Lord, stand on thy right, on our right and on our left. And wilt thou give thy blessing also to the preaching of thy word. One more time, Lord, oh, we need thy help to preach and also to listen. Oh, come then with thy presence. Every moment we forfeit this blessing. But Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Could it be to prick our hearts this day and to give us yet an undeserved blessing? Be with all afflicted ones. Be with all the old aged and all those that mourn. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 169, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 169. congregation, we read in Psalm 100 that the psalmist writes, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And also Paul writes to the Colossians, "And be ye thankful." Why is it necessary that we with our children should be admonished in such a way? It is necessary because it is something that does not lie by nature in our hearts. There is nothing that is more offensive to you and to I in this life than unthankfulness. Very, very quickly, we are offended. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Is that not to our shame that such an admonishment is necessary for us? But there is still also often such a difference between what is showing on the outside of us and what lies on the inside. Because we are of ourselves so hypocritical. And the Lord is looking not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. How would it be when the Lord would open up and reveal in the midst of the whole congregation what is now on this Thanksgiving Day, not just on the outside, but when he would reveal what is laying within our heart? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you from the words of our text, which you can find in this chapter, Genesis 4, verses 4b through 5a. So the second part of verse 4 to the first part of verse 5. "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect." So far the words of our text. Accepted and rejected thank offerings. First, the obligation to these thank offerings. Second, the great difference between these thank offerings. And last, we will try to close with a few words of application. Accepted and rejected thank offerings. First, the obligation to these thank offerings. And second, the great difference between these thank offerings. "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Cain, that means gotten or acquired. So that is now the beginning of the propagation of mankind, so undeserved by our first parents, Adam and Eve. A gift of God, parents, when we may receive also from the Lord a family. And may we feel that also in this day, that gift that is from above, children. Oh, there are many that feel and have to experience that these are truly a gift from above, not given by ourselves, but given by the Lord. Some think actually that Cain and Abel were twins, because we read here of one conception, but Moses, he speaks of two births. Nevertheless, Cain, that is gotten or acquired, Abel, that is vanity. Thus, that is a recollection for Eve of all of the miseries that have been brought into this world by sin. But and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Both of these occupations must have been taken up by Adam. But what for? Because tilling, that was necessary, of course, for food that they may eat, and the keeping of sheep, that was, boys and girls, for what? What did Adam and Eve have to be clothed with? Then the Lord used the skins of the animals. Thus it was necessary for clothing, because at this time, then man was not given the animals for food. And Adam, he has also taught these same occupations unto his children, has instructed them well in the things of this life. But we can read here that he did not only instruct them for the things how to come through this life, but also for the need of their own soul. Then he has instructed them also in the need for a true worship, because he has instructed them in this sacrifice. We read that Cain and Abel, they are bringing sacrifice unto the Lord. That is the first time we read in the Bible of a sacrifice. Must have been done by Adam also, but it is not recorded. That is not a form of worship that was an arbitrary thing that was rashly made up by our first parents or by Adam and his sons, but that was a form of worship that was given already by the Lord. Paul writes to the Hebrews about Abel's offering. And he speaks about that offering as being more excellent than Cain's offering. Thus, it cannot be but that God himself has given this command that they must worship him also in an outward manner in this way, because our inventions in the way of religion are not pleasing unto the Lord. And they are not excellent in the sight of the Lord. But this is what is recorded of the sacrifice of Abel. Samuel has said to Saul, obedience that is better than sacrifice. That was not just since the time of Samuel. No, that was since already the beginning of time in this world. Thus, these offerings of Cain and Abel, they are offerings which have been commanded by the Lord. So they are coming to the Lord in the way of obedience. Later, we read of something else that was added in the way of sacrifice, because Jacob, when he came to Bethel, there we can read that he also made an offering, But there he also made a promise. And what was that promise? Then he said, if the Lord, he will bring me back again. And if the Lord would give him his blessing, he says, surely I will give a tenth of all unto thee. Later on, we read also of the children of Israel when the Lord has established them as a nation. They were to be his own people, that they were given his laws, also the civil law based upon that moral law, that tithe, that one-tenth that was not only to be a promise of Jacob, but that was something that was required of the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Why is it that the Lord requires from his people a sacrifice? Here is actually called a gift. That is, congregation, by virtue of our creation already. How much thought do we give that we are each one of us a creature created by God? That we are actually God's own property. Thus, when we are his property, then all what we may call property in this world that also belongs to him, they are possessions that are given to us for a short time in this world, and then they are actually the possessions of the Lord himself. So this sacrifice, this gift, that is an acknowledgement of the fact that we are not just our own. What did the nations all around Israel have to do when they were subject to the Israelites? Then they had to bring their gifts. So that gift that is a token of obedience, of subjection, and that we owe to God all the things that we possess here in this world. But there is also something higher, because there is also a very much deeper meaning in this gift. Because, congregation, what can be acceptable to God outside of his only begotten Son, after our deep fall in paradise? God cannot be approached. God cannot be pleased with anything of his fallen creatures in and of itself. Thus, that sacrifice of the cattle and that shedding of that blood that was pointing to the necessity of mediation. Our first parents, they have been sent out of that immediate communion with God. When they have spoken with him and heard his voice every day. And that immediate communion that was broken by our sin. But they, and also with their posterity, with their children, they were not sent out of that communion without hope. Without hope in those signs that they were given, the signs of that sacrifice. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Thus, Cain and Abel, they are living together, and for all appearances, that is actually in a very well-ordered and a very well-regulated life. Thus, they are maintaining themselves, and they are working very diligently to provide for their families, for their children, for their households. And not only so, but they are also at the same time cultivating that duty of worship, that duty of piety towards God. And congregation, to all appearances, then also among us, then must we not say that it is also the same? Then we are also, in an outward way, well, we try to care for our children, and then it is, in general, a well-ordered, a well-regulated life. And then also in these special days and on the Sabbath day, we may be in that house of God. And a good thing and a right thing to acknowledge from where all these blessings are coming. And yet, we read here, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Thus, it appears on the outside the same. But the Lord had respect to the one, and the Lord had no respect unto the other. How was this made known? We don't know. Whether the Lord has answered Abel in that offering with fire from heaven, to show that this was acceptable to him, and not done so for Cain, that is possible, or in some other way, but some way that it was made known to them, this acceptance on the one hand and the rejection on the other. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So it remains, congregation. So it remains also today. And we have also in this day, we have done as Cain and as Abel. We have also brought our gift. We have also brought our sacrifice, Thanksgiving Day, unto the Lord, unto his house. And it remains today that we may be thankful as a consistory, as a congregation, as a church, then it remains today the same as it was then. There are some of those gifts that the Lord receives that are acceptable, and there are some of those gifts unto which the Lord has no respect. How may we know that? No, we have no fire, we have no visible signs. And yet the Lord himself is the same. And why is that? Do you know why that is, boys and girls? That some are rejected, some are accepted. You say, is that over? Yeah. how much is given. So one has given $5, another has given $10, another has given $100 or $1,000. You say the Lord, He accepts that when we have given $1,000, but when we have only given $1 or $2, you say then that then is not acceptable unto the Lord. Is that so? No, it is not so. We read in the Bible of a woman, a widow woman. She was very poor. You know how much she gave? She gave 2 mites. That was, we would say, just a few pennies. And the Lord Jesus says she has given more than all the other people. Yes, because that was all that that woman had. She has given her whole living. She gave everything. So is that then in the amount that a person is giving? No. What is that then? We see that in our second thought, the great difference between these sacrifices than this text that does not say the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering and unto Cain's offering, he had not respect. Doesn't say that. It says the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So that was not in the first place the offering, but it was in the first place what? The person. That was the offer. First to the man, then to his gift. Thus, there is no acceptance of that offering without an acceptance of that person. What is the greatest and the most precious gift when it is given by the hand of an enemy? Immediately, we would suspect that he has some kind of an ulterior motive, then it is not acceptable. How is it possible, however, that that offerer may be in the first place acceptable unto God? Is there such a person in the whole world? God does not change. God is not satisfied today with an external worship. God was not satisfied in the days of Cain and Abel with an external worship. And yet that sacrifice of Abel that is acceptable unto God, what does that mean? There was something more than an external worship. There was an inward truth that made a separation between these two men, between a genuine religion and a counterfeit religion. Paul himself gives us the answer to our question in Hebrews. By faith we read, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith. Thus, faith that lies at the heart of the difference between these two sacrifices. And what does Paul say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. There was no way that Adam and all his posterity would be able to draw near unto God in their fallen state without a mediator. Outside of Christ. God is to fall in men a consuming fire. And then God cannot look at any virtue that is in men. And he cannot look at any excellence of any external rite or sacrifice of any person that is in this world. It was by faith in that promise of that mediator that was to come that that very person of Abel was acceptable unto God. Outside of this, all the works, all the sacrifices, they are filthy, they are loathsome in the sight of God. The very root, the very foundation of those sacrifices is polluted and it is corrupt. All the external rites, they mean absolutely nothing unto him. Though they often mean very much to you and to me. Man looking on the outward appearance and the Lord looking and searching the heart of man. Oh, how is it when the Lord will search your heart, my heart, in this Thanksgiving day? Because he considers no works except that they proceed out of a heart of faith. And when it is offered with polluted hands, then it is not acceptable unto the Lord. Even the heathen, they have some impression of this. You know what they do before they offer their sacrifices? Then they first wash their hands. God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice only because he saw that person in and through his only begotten Son. That is the only way. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. What is the only way that it is possible that we would even attempt to bring an offering unto God outside of a mediator? What is now the only way? Congregation, what is that covenant once again in which we have been born? That is an old covenant of works. And when Cain comes to God with his sacrifices, he comes as one that is attempting to discharge his debt. By his external sacrifice. But we do not need to pay the Lord back for his gifts. That is impossible, nor is it required of man. Do you require that of your children, fathers? That they pay you back for all the gifts that you give to them day after day? Would it be possible that they paid you back? Would it not even be offensive to you when they attempted to pay you back for your gifts? No, there is something else that you look for. There are certain other elements that belong to that true gift, that true thanksgiving. What are those elements? Dependence, submission, dedication to God, a desire to serve him, love for him, Is that not, fathers, what you look for from your children? The Lord will not have the external rights alone of his people, but the Lord, he will have the heart. He will have the heart of his creation, the heart of his children. But Cain had not the least intention to give his heart to God, to submit himself to God, to dedicate himself unto God. How is that dedication revealing itself on the other side? In that sacrifice of his brother Abel. Well, then we see a certain characteristic in his offering. What do we read? He brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. That is the very, very best part. That was for the Lord. That was completely missing in that offering of Cain, who brought simply of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Here is the manifestation of that love of faith that is living in that heart of Abel. Nothing is good enough for the Lord. And that fat of Abel's sacrifice, that is nothing in itself, no. But that fat that becomes a sweet savor unto God by that love of faith which is evident in that sacrifice. Thus, what is coming from the Lord, that is again returning back unto him. And it is in this way that the works of Abel, they are acceptable also unto God. It is his own work. It is a fruit of that faith that he has planted himself. On the other hand, should it surprise us that Cain's offering was not acceptable, should not then that hypocrisy of those who have no desire to serve God at all, should that hypocrisy that is laying in our heart, should that not be contemptible in the sight of God? Is it not actually, congregation, a mockery? Is it not actually a fruit of pride? Is it not actually a fruit of sin? Is it not actually, we would say, even a daring boldness to attempt to draw nigh unto God outside of that mediator that he has given into the world, and then expect to be accepted of him? But how do we draw nigh? This day, you, I, how did we draw nigh with our offering? You say it is a custom, yes. Yes, maybe it is more than a custom. Maybe you say it was the desire of my heart to give something special. It is Thanksgiving Day. Then I see the blessings. I can see something of the goodness of the Lord. That is good. That is proper. That is according to the command of the Lord. At least in an outward way. And yet, can be that this day, it is with us as it was in that day with Cain, that the Lord had no respect to our offering. And we feel good about it, yes. We have given a portion of our goods. Maybe we have given a large portion of our goods, and we have done it secretly. We have not let our right hand know what our left hand has done. That is, according to that word of God. But it is possible, after all that, that it means nothing unto the Lord. Why? We give a congregation actually with a desire to receive something back from Him. We do it without a need to be washed, without a need to be cleansed. We miss the love for God. We miss the desire for Him. We miss the need for Him. We miss the desire to give ourselves, our whole life, our family, all in submission and dedication to God. We have no desire to keep the commandments of the Lord. And what does the Lord say? Obedience, to obey, that is better than sacrifice. Let us sing. Psalter 141, 1 through 4. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. Let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1 through 4 of Psalter 141. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain is angry. And how would we be when in this day there was some communication, some manifestation that we knew from the Lord that that which we have brought in this day, our gift, our sacrifice, that the Lord had no respect for it. What would then go on in our heart? Cain tried to cover his insincerity with a mask, to cover the evil actually that lay in his heart. That was all a pretense of religion. There was nothing sincere in his worship. All external. And with those external works, he strove to please God. But in his heart, he remained an enemy to God. And because of those external works, then he thought he had a right. A right for what? He thought he had a right for the acceptance of God. Feels that he has a right to a place among the true people of the Lord. Maybe the highest place even among the people. Therefore, when it is not accepted, then we read, he is angry. His countenance fell. He is angry with God. He has very carefully kept track of all his trivial observances in his religion. And he thinks that God should have kept track of all of them also. And when he sees that his pious religion is not acceptable to God, then the enmity that lies in his heart that is breaking forth from him. He has been insulted as if God is under some kind of an obligation to accept his external appearance of obedience before him. Oh, then he is insulted, as if God has wronged him by not taking account of all his trivial observances of his religion. That is the pride of a hypocrite. As if God is obliged to deal with us according to our own thoughts, our own terms. And in his heart, there is burning a furious indignation against God. That if it were possible that he may pull God even from his throne. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, as if God ought to be answerable unto Cain. And then he is not only angry with God, but he is angry with his people. That his anger extends unto the true children of God. His countenance fell. His heart that is inflamed with rage. And then there is an envy that lives in his heart against
Abel? And the Lord said unto Cain, Why? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Why? God will not answer to man, but man shall have to answer unto God. And when God will contend with him, he will not be able to answer him one question of a thousand. That's why we read of no answer of Cain unto the question of the Lord. The Lord says, Cain, you are angry. You are angry because I did not accept your offering, but did you ever consider, Cain, that it is your own fault? Did you ever cease, Cain, to point your finger at another? Did you ever once point that finger unto yourself? Did you ever once look, Cain, into your own heart? Did you ever attempt to see and to remedy the evil of that heart, that blemish that is in your own sacrifice? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Then Cain is left completely without excuse. Especially when we see that the hands of the Lord, they are still extended out unto Cain. Provided that he is offering a sacrifice that is in his heart without blemish. Then the Lord says, I am ready to receive you. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Then he speaks about the punishment. If Cain will persist in his wickedness, when he will harden his heart against God, O Cain, to rage in your heart against God will not profit you. And it will give you no peace in your conscience. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt reign over him. What does he say? He says, Cain, Abel is your inferior. You are Cain, the firstborn. And Cain, Abel is completely content to have it so. There is no enmity in the heart of Abel against you. And Abel also would not even despise you in his heart, nor would he reject your authority as being the firstborn, your place, and his own place in submission as the secondborn when he hears and he sees that your offering that is rejected by me. No. God's people do not despise the world because they know, they understand that everything they have received that is a gift of God, and they are no different in their own heart than the worst that can be found in this world. But it is the world that is full of envy, hatred, spite against the true church of God. And why? Because of the favor of the Lord to that people. And now the Lord warns Cain. He warns him concerning his brother. When that enmity is rising up in his heart before he slew his brother, then he received a warning concerning that enmity, but he will not listen. Or if he will only consider in his own heart his own guilt and his own evil, oh, then he would not rage against God and his guiltless brother.
congregation. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. How is that now in our heart this day? Oh, we wish only that we may bring you a little further than to see the outward things, but that we may be a little means in the hands of the Lord, that you may be brought to self-examination. That is to examine what is going on in your own heart and in your own thoughts. What are the motives? And in what way do we come up to this house of God? And what is it that prompts us in this day to bring our external sacrifices? Is there more than an external religion? Is it more than an external desire for a reward? Is there love? Is there love in our heart to God? Consider for one moment, that it is our sacrifice that is rejected by the Lord. Ours. And everyone else in the church, it is accepted. And then what is going on then? What is welling up then in your heart, in my heart? Oh, in our heart by nature lies that same enmity that was found in that heart of Cain. And it is only by the wonder of that free and sovereign grace that it may be different in our heart in this day. By nature, we make a foundation out of our good deeds. And we are not such a bad person, and we have not such an evil heart. Oh, may God open our eyes to show us what lies within our own heart, and to strip away the false ground upon which you and I build by nature. Oh, if only Cain would now weep, if he would now only weep when he is rebuked by the Lord, because it was not too late for him. No, the Lord says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But there was no inward desire. Only became angry because he had these rights. O congregation, may the Lord strip us. May the Lord strip us of the rights that we have in ourselves, and make us truly guilty, truly hell-worthy in the sight of God. Guilty sinners need to be forgiven. Unworthy sinners, they need everything out of free and sovereign grace. These seek it in Christ. These need him. These find it in that Son of God. And when that heart that may be open to him, oh, then the hands, they shall also go open. And then it is no ground anymore. What is it then? Do you know that, boys and girls? Then it is no foundation anymore. than it is a fruit. Oh, blessed, blessed fruit. Than it is to the honor and to the glory of that good God that gives everything for time and for eternity unto His people. Oh, may the Lord give us that holy jealousy for that blessed portion of that people and grant us an undeserved blessing from above. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what lies in our hearts? It is so evil within that we can feel that rebellion when we are not accepted, when our works are not accepted, when our gift is not accepted. Oh, that is all of that first covenant. Wilt thou instruct us, Lord? Oh, send an arrow in our heart and make us the guilty one. For it is not yet too late for us and our children. Oh, wash and cleanse us in that pure, that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou bless thy word this day? Go with us now safely to our homes. Keep us from all danger and accident, evil and sin, and remember us in the furtherance of this week, in all the labors of our hands, in the home and by the way, the children at school and the parents in their labors. Oh, give us together that true and that tender fear of thy holy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquity and with the acknowledgement of all thy help that thou hast given in these days for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 311, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? How shall my soul, by grace restored, give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 311. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.